Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Okay, let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you, we exalt you, we give you all the glory and the honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. Thank you that we flow freely and we speak your word freely. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's continue something that we saw here. I've been in a study series titled God is My Source, and someone had reminded me a while ago on this study series, a couple years ago, and I gave it with another focus, different to it, to what I'm speaking on right now, and it's true. For me, it's very basic to understand the foundations, and for me, these are the foundations. And there are millions of Christians who, unfortunately, do not understand this. Sometimes they made faith dead works. It's true that there are, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there are some very weird doctrines. For example, people use the grace of God as libertarianism. But people also use faith in other extremes. Then also, there are people who walk in disobedience, be it because they want to try to please God and they can't, or they do it in their own abilities. And it's true that there are a lot of weird things. If you notice, perhaps on YouTube, there are some doctrines that are just question of watching that one person for a few days, and then they start putting doubt, you won't believe the same as you did before. It's true that there are people that I'm going to talk about my area of faith and prosperity, and I'm not going to talk about like the founders, my mentors in the faith. I know that they criticize them, but it's because they don't know them. I know them, which is why I can tell you that they are faithful men. But it's true, I'm going to use some expressions to try to better understand what I'm saying. Let's say there have been spiritual children of theirs, spiritual grandchildren of theirs, who they speak some things, especially when it has to do with prosperity, or a lot of them have given a terrible testimony. They've adulterated with other women, have used incorrectly the money of their churches and ministries. It's true that there are those, but there is a truth here in the Bible. No matter what happens out there, we have to preach the truth. The truth. And there's an intermediate truth here that we can take advantage of, as to not go from one extreme or to the other. For example, in our Pentecostal areas, they abuse prophecy. They say, oh, the Holy Spirit told me this, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. And it's true. And we can just be tired of it. But what's the solution? To stop preaching prophecy? No. It's to continue preaching what's correct with the Bible. What are we going to stop doing? Teaching biblical prosperity, which I will later show you what is true biblical prosperity with the Bible and with its intended purpose. Forgive my language, but there are many clowns out there speaking of prosperity and promoting things that shouldn't, unfortunately. But not all of us have that type of heart. Amen. And then, again, there are those who have used the grace of God as libertarianism. There are people who are lazy in the things of God. There are people who even in Judas, they said they used the grace of God as libertarianism and not as freedom or liberty. But the best out of all this, is I believe, is to continue preaching and speaking the truth. Amen. The truth is here in the Bible. Look at what I didn't say. I didn't say to continue or continue speaking, for example, my truth or your truth or the truth of that person or the truth of the other person. But the truth is right here. Someone say amen with the Bible. So a quick review, I'll say this. We saw that faith is a gift, correct? It's a gift. Just as a grace of God is a gift. And last time, for some reason, I tried to go into the subject, but I wasn't able to. And it was on Tuesday. And I think what I spoke was very good, truly, to the point where I edified myself. And there were people here at church who commented many good things on that subject. There were good comments, and they ministered to them. But before that, tonight, I want to see how to use our faith, that faith, the faith of Jesus, in us, changing circumstances contrary in our lives. There are contrary circumstances. And for many reasons, people are suffering. I know that there are traditional teachings that people say that God is testing us. And I don't believe that because God will not test us with evil. And we'll see that in this subject. We've seen it before, but we'll see it again. But first, we'll see this on faith. I want it to be very clear. Because again, there are people in our area, in Christians and ministers, who for many years, they thought that it was your faith. It's yours, as in God has his faith, and you have your faith. And there are people who have understood it that way, and it's not that way. As it's your faith because you use it in that sense. But it's the faith of Jesus inside of you. In other words, you and I do not produce faith if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I do not produce faith, we would have not produced any type of faith in our spirit if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Do you understand that? Amen. We'll be seeing that. So there are a few doubts when people say little faith or lots of faith, little faith, no faith. So what is it referring to? If I have all the faith, so what is it referring to? Well, we'll see that. And before seeing faith to change circumstances, so you don't get into condemnation, and so you can receive it, and you can walk in it as well. So Matthew 14, because last time I tried getting into this, when I was speaking other things, not other things, but more so in the same subject, but I just didn't have the time. So Matthew 14, verse 32-32. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they cried out, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So on 29, he said, "Well, come." How is he going to answer? "Well, no, it's not me." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So if you have all the faith, what is the Lord referring to here? Well, he's referring to the faith that you're using. If you don't use your faith or the faith of Jesus in you, it won't be any good. You have to know how to use it. You can use little faith, lots of faith. That's your responsibility, not even the gods anymore. Amen. Two ways of developing your faith or using it is through words, and what we saw in James is corresponding actions. But I'll repeat it one more time, because there are people who just, now I have to act, and I already confessed, now I have to act. Well, they don't even believe. There's no relationship with God. They're not even sure. And many times they try to use faith to, perhaps show off to their sister or brother in Christ or this other person. I'll give you a tip. You don't have to try to please anyone or show off to anyone. Amen. If you're going to do something, do it because you love God. Do it out of obedience. And at the end, do it because you will receive a benefit from it. As to say, if there's obedience from your part, glory to God. But people get into many issues, and I don't want to talk about that just yet, because I want to focus on this. So, referring to this, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why didn't you use that faith that you have? Amen. That's what the Lord is referring to. We already saw one more time, I hope you are all disciples, and you know what I'm referring to, because we have been studying this, that you already have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to understand when you were born again, but now you have to add understanding. Once you add understanding or knowledge, that faith is stimulated. And I put that example of a phone, and I asked some of you, if you have a phone, you buy a phone. Well, that's all you do, you just bought it and that's it? No, you have to activate it. But all that information, I'm going to use another word, all the potential is inside of that phone. Yep, all that potential is inside of that phone. Well, all the potential of God, that potential of faith is inside of you, but you have to activate it. And when someone is born again, that faith is placed inside of them. But then they have to add the understanding of the Word of God, the wisdom of the Word of God. And now that faith will be stimulated. And as I told you, stimulate your faith, or another way of saying is renewing your way of thinking and changing your way of thinking. What happens with many Christians that live here in this frontier between Douglas and NAP? They're Christians, but they're from the town. So on Holy Week, they'll go out drinking, and they're Christians. But what happens is they haven't renewed their mind. Well, they'll say, it's because Brother Hughes, I'm from my town, and so the problem is, you have to understand that although you were born again in your town, you were born again in the kingdom of God. And it's not of your nature. I'm not saying that you'll go to hell because you drink a beer, but it's because you give a bad testimony. And that's the other side of the love of God, the respect and the love of God. God will not stop loving you. Or say, I'm mad with you because you drink a beer. No, there are people who hear me and they say, look, the devil, the pastor is saying, is giving the right for them to drink and giving them license to drink. Although there are some who drive without a license as well. But I'm trying to say that they'll do whatever they want to do regardless of what I tell them. But what will happen is, you'll, apart from giving a bad testimony, you'll give place to the devil in your life. And the devil is the one who is going to cause problems in your life. But you have to understand that you are a new creature in Christ. Amen. And there are some things that just don't go with us anymore. What the devil wants to do is just destroy and rob from your life. And so problems can come to you. Problems we will always have. I'm going to clarify something. I'm going to clarify so we can all understand. From here and forever, if you notice something, the world and Christians, we will always have problems. Didn't you notice how in COVID, people of the world passed away, but also Christians? As in, illnesses will attack Christians as they attack people of the world. You understand that part? The difference is that we now, being born again, we enter into a covenant with God. And Jesus not only died for our sins, but the Bible says that by his stripes we were also healed. That doesn't mean that attacks won't come to our body, because we have a natural body to start, a mortal body. And then we live in a fallen, corrupt world with illnesses and evil. And then we have an adversary named Satan. And so there are many things. And sometimes it's the three things: the Satan, fallen world, and this mortal body. And also perhaps negligence by our part. I say from me, because a few times these few months I've had symptoms, because I'll be working outside and I sweat a lot. And so I'm working outside and then I'll go into my home with the air conditioning into my room or the car. And then I hit the AC very high, and I've had some symptoms, but I reject them. But then I also say, well, I'm going to be a bit more wise. But in general, illnesses and attacks will come. The difference is, now talking about Christians, difference is that illnesses, either through ignorance or perhaps simply our body just starts aging. Because, for example, they once criticized Fred Price because they put in an implant in his hip. And this one stupid guy said, well, why didn't God heal him? And Brother Fred Price was talking to me about this. And he was laughing, but he said, well, because there was nothing else to heal. There was no more hip there. It wore out, because our body wears out as well. Do you understand that? But you can perhaps reject the effects of aging with the word, and you can be wise, etc. You can drink water, perhaps remove meals in your body that just aren't healthy or do not benefit your body. And I say this with care, because there are some Christians who say, oh, diets, and their sights are on diets. And it's good, your sights should be on the word of God, and so that the word of God can guide you. Amen. Although it is good, again, it all has to do with the wisdom of God. Did you understand the balance? Did you notice the balance that I gave you? Now share a few things with you, or throughout this study series. Again, let's see another verse here. Matthew 8. Well, I'm not going to say anything yet. Thank you, Father. Verse 23. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. Mark 4. I'm going to start explaining this so we can advance. I was going to say something, but I'm going to use up too much time. Mark 4. Perhaps I'll share right now if the Lord reminds me. Same story. Mark 4:40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? Luke 8. Again, the same story. 8:25. But he said to them, where is your faith? Right there. So, where's your faith? Where is it? Oh, you could say, well, Brother Hughes, it's inside of you. Well, use it. That's my point. Use it. Use it. Amen. Because it's inside of you. Where's your faith? Inside of you. Well, then use it. Use it. Start, for starters, by guarding your words. I know I told you that there's some things that can happen to us. We perhaps could get sick, but the Bible also speaks how life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you can start speaking words of blessing and the promises of God in faith. Not because you confess something doesn't mean that. If you confessed it, if you confess something, perhaps it'll happen in an hour, 2 hours, or from here till tomorrow, in a week, your life will change. But the Bible is what? Like a seed. The Word of God is like a seed. It starts growing. And we saw how faith is also our servant in the last subject. So start using it. Don't just say, oh, well, this circumstance and this problem. Pray. Pray in other tongues. Someone say amen. Speak blessing. Speak words. As I told you, forgive the words that I'll be saying, and I don't want to speak more than what I should. But there's a lot of buffoons out there. A lot of clowns, including in our area. In prosperity and, for example, and I've criticized this as well. I've condemned it and I've gone against it. For example, if you're in faith, oh, if they see that you take medicine, where is your faith then? Well, you can't accuse me because I've never taught that. Amen. Even if you're taking medication and you're going with the doctor or whatever, that's faith. That's putting your sights. That's changing circumstances. Is speak the promises of God. You know when it would be lack, no faith, or when we ask, where is your faith? Well, when you say, well, we have to die of something, or again, the same. A lot of these, again, I'm just making a point with this. Oh, glory to God. Oh. But due to all these types of people, many critics that criticize faith, prosperity, financial prosperity, biblical prosperity and healing, many times they do it because of these extremists as well, that many of them came out of our area. And that's what I'm referring to. For example, there's this one man. I'm not going to mention his name. Very famous. And he founded so many churches. Those liberal grace churches with very music, very, very famous, with a lot of music, and in another country. And then, you know, something had to happen. Fame and money gets to his head, and thousands of churches and hundreds of thousands of members. 2-3 years ago, they kicked him out. And then, now he's going to start preaching through internet, and he's asking for money to make a studio, a television studio. If you truly repent, and the man has money, why don't you put it out of your own pocket? Right? Just as Nubi and I know it might sound wrong that we're boasting ourselves, but and other pastors, but we've believed in what the Lord has told us, and we've sowed, because in the natural, who assures me, again, in the natural, who assures me that all of you will continue coming? One day, all of you just go, you move out, and that's it. And well, where's the money now? You see, but you have to believe. I'm not saying that we're believing for that. On the contrary, every time more people will come here. But you see what I'm referring to? If I'm sure of what God has called me to do, then I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it correctly, and to give glory and honor to the Lord. And when you understand that it's the faith of God, and you know that it's God speaking to you, doesn't matter if God tells me give so much in an offering, or give so much thousands, it's not going to bother me. Because why should it bother me if my Lord and my relationship with my Lord is greater than any amount of money? Amen. Do you understand me? But it's when you understand this, which is why I'm preaching this. Because to me, personally, I know that there are those who just went to other extremes, those of faith who don't even exist anymore. Because people started with false doctrines, and that's what happens. They get that pride, and this church of 2,000, 3,000 people, and that pastor had so many pastors under him, but then it gets to their head. They forget that it's Jesus inside of them. So you want me to tell you this? Again, as I was saying, to me, which is why I preach it, I have orders from the Lord, but to me, understanding two things, the unconditional love of God and the finished works, which is the grace of God, to me has changed my life. To me personally, it has changed my relationship with God for good. It has changed my relationship with my wife for good. It has changed my relationship with my children for good. I give more honor to my mentors in the faith. And I'm not waiting for, well, the last one that's left for me, or for perhaps Mom Betty is calling me, as the culture that we have. Well, pastor doesn't call me, well, I'm not going to call him either. You see, that they don't understand grace, they don't understand honor. You see, I'm not waiting on them to call me. I communicate with them. Understanding grace has helped me with this. Look, we'll see. We saw it last time, so let's go there. Yeah, there are those who've gone to other extremes and those churches don't exist anymore. And perhaps this pastor went with another woman and the wife of the pastor went with another man and blah, 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 this and that. And this man says that to the point where he was using drugs. And I know, I cannot relate because on the contrary, it's with me. It's what has anchored me more with the things of God. Luke 17, speaking about these types of ideas. Unfortunately, am I going good? Am I good or am I a little heavy? What's the heavy meter? You scream to me, sweet lips. Remember? But yeah, I mean, as I told you, people truly who are watching us on television, and again, these two people, they commented how, oh, they'll tell him, hey, well, pastor finishes his program so quickly. And this other person said, well, don't you see, well, don't they have a webpage or something like that, or YouTube or something like that, or social media? And he said, well, yeah, don't you see the bars that come out there? And he said, no, it's because I'm so focused on what he's speaking that I don't even focus on those announcements. So when they start seeing and they start looking up Ignacio Hughes, all that information comes on, they start searching. And there's this increase in downloads of our app. And then there are people who are now understanding this. Back then I used to preach much more quickly. So only those who had years with me understood, but those who watch on television, they don't. They don't have years of experience, or they don't have experience in things of the Word of God. Luke 17, verse 7, 8, and 9, and 10. Again, I'm going to be speaking this. Use your faith. How? How do I use it, Brother Hughes? How? Start speaking words of faith. Start speaking words of blessing. Start speaking in faith in other tongues. Start developing your relationship with God. Change your way of thinking with the Word. That's inside of you. Like Paul said in Colossians 1:17, Christ in me, let the Lord work in you. Give Him an opportunity because He won't obligate you. Luke 17, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And which of you, having a servant, blowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field? Well, we saw that, right? So let's review it. He will sit down. Well, the answer is no one. Verse 8. But would he rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and after you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Notice verse 10. So, although it's talking about there on faith, let me apply this verse to all of us here. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded. Question. Have you done everything, or have we done everything that God has commanded us? No, right? So notice this. Notice. When you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Well, we haven't finished what God told us. That means that we are useless learners. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, so it doesn't get over your head, we're barely learning. We haven't even finished our training. We're still trainees. We're useless trainees. Why do I say this? Why am I saying all this? Because these people do not understand that it's Jesus inside of them. And although God loves them and all this, they've done many of these mega pastors, mega churches, not all of them, but many of them, speaking of things and misinterpreting faith, misinterpreting prosperity. I was talking with Alex the afternoon here in church. One time I was in a certain state towards the coast, towards the East Coast. And the pastor, normally when I head out, 90% of the times I always pay my plane tickets. I'm never asking for anything from them. I rent my own hotel, and I rent a car to move around, as I do everything like that. I'm not asking them to, you know, I'm not a superstar. If you want me to go, because again, if you want me to go, I need this and I need that. Again, I'm in the category here of I'm a useless trainee still. So I'm not a No, I'm just a child of God who does what God tells me to do. Last time I went, pastor told me, hey, well, let me put this brother in who am I trusting in our church, who will pick you up and take care of you there. I said, okay, well, I let myself be cared for. I let myself be pampered. You know, pastor once told me, no, don't run until I look. I'll keep you here in my home. I have a good room there. This was in Texas. Plus, I have a car. I have an extra car that I'm not using, so you can use it if you need to. Because he works and he has his own business and he goes out to work in the mornings. But this pastor here, in this case, in the East Coast, he told me, well, I'll let this brother take care of you. So he came by for me and he picked me up in a brand new Suburban. And I'll say this, again, so you can know how to use your faith without condemnation in the level in which you are at. Amen? Right. So he picked me up and he said, Brother Hughes, how are you? I go, I'm good. So a brand new Suburban, very beautiful. And you know, it's fine. No one has issue with that. But when I got in, when he went for me at the hotel, he told me, Brother Hughes, I'm going to go for a fellow brother in Christ, sister, and their children who are friends of mine. Seems like they've had issues with their cars. And I told this brother, he's a good friend of mine, don't we go to a church of faith? Don't we preach prosperity? And don't we believe in prosperity? Remember, I don't know these people. Neither to the brother who we're going for, neither this brother who picked me up. So I can't say yes or no, I just stayed quiet. Well, I don't know what you're referring to, brother. Because he has a car that I told him, just buy a newer one. Where's your faith? You see, where's the prosperity and all that? Again, I didn't say anything. I just smiled. I don't have all the information. He told me, does it bother you if you go for him? Or would you like me to take you to church and I come back? And I said, no, it's fine, brother. I can go with you. No issue at all. When he got in, remember, now the other one, the one that we picked up for, in the section of departments there, departments that we got in. So a man, a lady, and two children, small ones, 6-7 years old. So they get into the back seat, they get their children in first, and oh, here's Brother Hughes, the one we'll be preaching. Oh, Brother Hughes, good to meet you. Oh, I've seen you on YouTube and all this and that. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, brother. So when we were now, I was in the passenger seat. The one who picked me up, well, he was driving, of course. And the two adults in the back of the family, in the back, but the head of the house was behind me. So the one who picked me up, well, he's their friends, you know, like kidding perhaps in or in trust, but now you see what's in their heart. They said, "Well, what have I told you to buy a new car and to buy yourself a new house? And where's your prosperity? Where's faith? And where's this and that?" Right, Brother Hughes? And I didn't say anything. I was just... because I just needed more information. So the brother in the back, they're like this. So yeah, but the upcoming year, I'm saving money to put a down payment. But in the next year, that's which is why I haven't bought a car, because I don't have in debt with car and a house. And now the wife says, and what happens is I have my car as well. We have two cars. But a brother of mine, now carnal speaking, sibling, is out of state, and we didn't know that our car, the one that was left, would break down. You see the difference. But the other one was saying, well, where's your faith? So now, the brother who was driving said, well, you see, that's why you have to buy newer cars, not with that old car that you have. The other brother said, I know, but well, that's what I'm headed to. I'm going to have it. Yes, but just hold on. And then he told me again, the one that was driving. Right, Brother Hughes? So now is my turn to speak. There we go. So the brother who was behind me, the back seat, was directly behind me, but his hand was on the headrest. So I turn around, and his hand was right here, and I tapped it, and I said, brother, you're doing good. Continue believing in God. You'll have what you need. God will supply your needs. If just because you don't have them doesn't mean you're not in faith. And the one who was driving stayed very quiet. And that's what I'm referring to. Many of these clowns who preach prosperity and go to other extremes, that's how they measure faith. If you have a brand new car, if you have your brand new house. And there are many Christians in debt to show off, hallelujah, to their families or to the brothers of their same, their spiritual brothers, that they have a lot of faith. See how that's all so wrong? You are a man and a woman of faith. When you start using that faith in the level that you're at, and you start speaking and using according to the word of God, Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, and this would bring a lot of liberty to a lot of people. There are people, before reading, there are people who, if I sowed life into them, perhaps if they lived correctly, perhaps they would buy a house slightly better, but perhaps they wouldn't live in a mansion because they don't see it that way. Perhaps if I don't explain myself. And I've known people like that, where one day I was painting a house, giving an example, and this man, in his office, actually the house was a 3-bedroom house, and one of the bedrooms, the smallest one, he made it an office. And I was going to go in to paint, but he was still in there. He had to move all his furniture. So I said, oh, I didn't know you were in here, sir. And when I was heading out, he tells me, oh, no, I'm just transferring money from one account to the other. And I said, oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, you know, those are private things. And the big screen right there. So although I didn't want to see, you could see everything. A screen almost as big as the monitor that's right there. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's fine. I'm about to finish. Look at how easy it is now. And with new technology and all of this. And in one of his accounts, in the one with the least amount, $9 million. And the house was, you know, it wasn't an ugly house, but it, you know, those houses made perhaps 60s, 70s in the center of Phoenix. And I told him, wow. He said, yeah, look, you can see. And I told him, this is the one where you have the least amount. I said, yes. And I told him, hey, well, with that money, I thought you would perhaps live in Scottsdale. He said, well, yeah, my wife and I did. But we had such a big house, about 6-7 bedrooms. But it was so big that my children got married. And now they moved out. And then sometimes my wife is in the other area of the house and I'm in the opposite. So I sometimes have to call her through the phone so we can communicate. I said, well, why? And we sold it and we bought this house, smaller. You see, what I'm trying to say is this. Attention here. If that person perhaps tried to live in that mansion, it's fine. And he wants to live in that small house, it's fine. And if he wanted perhaps to go to an apartment, it's fine. You cannot say that prosperity is because you drive a so-and-so car or a brand new car or an old car. You know, sometimes people aren't even interested in that. I'm not saying that it's wrong. But don't also say that that man or woman has a lot of faith. Where is the prosperity? How does God see it? The Lord said it's not by the possession, but by what you possess. It's by how generous you are in the kingdom. Which is why I'm saying, if some of you say, oh, well, I'm believing God that I will have a better house or a bigger house. I'm not saying that it's wrong. What I'm saying is, don't get in debt. And be in debt to the point where you don't know what to do to try to prove that you're in faith. Amen. And you're trying to perhaps please, I don't know who, the people from here from church or other brothers in Christ. There are pastors here in the United States, I assume perhaps in other countries, that they'll burn churches, they'll auto sell, they'll auto rob their cars to scam the insurance to say that they're blessed. Do you think that's faith? Do you think that's the faith of Jesus? No. Are you all good? Am I being too harsh? No, I'm good? Okay. If you want me to tell you, the only reason that God truly wants us prosperous, truly, is to finance the kingdom of God. That's the number one reason, and because He loves us. We're His children. Glory to God. But in other words, God does not care if you live in a two-bedroom apartment or in a mansion of 20. Those are just things of clowns. The area of faith and prosperity. None of you are going to say, oh, well, it's something new that he's preaching. No, I've preached this for years. What I'm saying is, because of those clowns, people criticize me, and I don't care if criticism is part of the persecution. But without knowing, they put me in that same box. They box me in with the others. Prosperity is important because we cannot finance the kingdom of God if we're poor. But what I'm saying is, there are people like this brother in Christ. He thought because he had a new Suburban, and it's fine, I'm not saying that the brother who had the Suburban is wrong, but the way in which he was telling the other brother in Christ, he was pressuring him, buy a new house and buy another car because that's prosperity and that's faith. No, that's not true. Lies. Those are lies. Every person can live whatever way they think is best or they like. For example, give me $80,000. Quickly, in my mind, you know what, and I perhaps could buy a new truck, and that's fine. But if someone tells me, brother, here are $80,000 you can buy a new car, you know what, in cash. And what I would do, first thing I'm going to do is, to that brother in Christ, is the money for me? Okay, well, I'm going to pray so you can receive a harvest for this, because Bible also speaks how money is a seed. not just the word, because those who criticize us, oh well, they say that money is seed, but the Bible says that it's the word, and they cite Luke 8. But we'll now tell Apostle Paul, where he spoke in Corinthians, how money is a seed. But speaking about me, you know quickly what I would do? I already made math here. With $80,000, I can buy perhaps 140 head of calves, and I can fatten them up for a year. And those 80,000, I could make $75,000 to $150,000 in about a year or two more years. Now, would it be wrong if I bought that car? No, but someone can't criticize me as well if, well, because I can tell you, because I've been told this, you have to live what you preach. And what are you referring to? I said, well, what? And he asked me, what year is the truck in which you're coming? My Dodge Diesel Cummins four door. I like it. Why do you care? And he told me, what year is your car? 2004, the same age as my son. Well, where is what you preach of faith and prosperity and this and that? You should have a 2000. This isn't 2022. You should have a 2022. Should I have to, by force. You see? Because I preach faith and prosperity. But I preach biblical faith and prosperity, not things of clowns. If I want to come in that car from here to the second coming of the Lord, as the Lord told Peter, what of you? And if I want to come in a new car, what of you? How many of you are understanding? But I'm putting what faith, because true prosperity is how generous you are in the kingdom, and you will prosper to be a blessing to the people and to bless the kingdom and the word, and to enter into more TV stations, more radio stations, to reach those people. And while those people are maturing and learning, bless them and help them, buy them clothes, buy them food, help them to get out of debt. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That is true prosperity. Not things of clowns, of what brand of clothes you use. For example, my wife uses Louis Vuitton, or I don't know what else. That's what it's called, right? It's with V, right? Oh, thank you, God. I was about to say with P. Oh, man, that would sound so terrible. Even I thought. What's to say if another one wants to say, I don't know, a crying little duck or something, some brand like that. People have told me, bro, Brother Hughes, you only use Levi's and Wrangler, and it's true, but you know why? You know why I use this brand? Remember, Brother Rye received a revelation, and he's already in the Lord, with the Lord. Husband of Sister Aguilar, but flesh and blood did not reveal this to him. He said, our pastor is a negotiator. You know why I use this brand? I believe I have about 7 years with them. Because they're hardy. Shut up. They last. And some of them were a bit bigger and I had them tapered. What's your sister-in-law? Sister Lupita, sister-in-law of Brother Tomas. What do you say? She custom tapers my clothes and my suits, my pants, and which is why I use them. They are a bit pricey, but man, they last to the point where they start bothering you. Glory to God. And for that reason is why I buy them. And again, just blue. Well, yeah, and the majority is just blue. I go find them in my size, and I buy about five of them. What do I care? Well, you look like a portrait. What do you care? Well, your prosperity. You see, well, those stupid things are what annoys me. Amen. And yeah, I have a lot of shirts, but I mostly use the same ones when I go out. Nobody tells me, why don't you use the other ones? Well, because I like these. I feel comfortable in them. What are you going to say, that I'm not a man of faith and prosperity? Shut up, you don't want to lose upcoming Tuesday and Thursday, because I'm going to use Bible. And you know the only reason is to remove condemnation of many. Many who are condemned. I mean, brothers. Yeah, it's because I've met many people in these years that I've been preaching that they're in debt. They don't sleep anymore. They look like zombies because they don't sleep, because they want to continue with that lifestyle, because what are people going to say if they're not in faith? And others who go out of the things of the Word of God, because what's the good of being a tremendous man of God and this and that and be cold? Being ministering to the devil. Being cold. Almost a person of the world. Do you truly want that? No. But if you seek from God, God will prosper you to His way, and you will never get cold. Hallelujah, this is so good. I'm almost done. Just be a little patient. Go to Revelations. Look at the things as God sees them. Yeah, I believe in giving. That's true. I believe in tithing. And I'll tell you something a bit contradictory. I believe in tithing, yet I barely practice it. What? Again. I believe in tithing, but I barely practice it. Because tithing is a 10%. But when I understood the grace of God, oh man, my God is so good, so merciful. Wow, 10% is so little to me. And I stopped giving 10% and I started giving more than 10%. Which is why I believe in tithing. It's biblical. I believe it's good to practice it. But it's rare, very rarely, that Nubia and I give 10%. We always give more than that. If you're going to give, give. If you're going to give in grace, you have to practice it. Those false liberal graces of the giving, tithing is of the law, but they don't even give 5% or 4% or the 2%. They don't give anything. Amen. And they use grace as an excuse. No, grace will change you. Grace will make you fall more in love with God, more of the Lord, more of His Word. Grace will make you run towards Him. Grace will make you serve with more excellence. All the contrary. People get scared when we speak of grace because there are many clowns. Forgive me, Father, for insulting your children. Revelations 10. I didn't have such sweet lips, huh? Revelations 10. Oh, I'll repent later with the Lord. Revelations 10. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Guru. I am forgiven and I receive it. Revelations 10:14. Revelations 3:14. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of your mouth. Not saying that the Lord ate man and then he later threw it up. That's not what this means, but I'll explain it later. The Lord was speaking to this pastor in Laodicean, and he was speaking it in a tongue that he would understand. I explained it a couple years ago. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy. Some say like this, so much from the world to these. Of false prosperity and all that. Because you say, I am wealthy. I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. I'm not saying that the Lord told him, but with your actions you can show these, that you do not need God. But look at what the Lord said. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Because now help me in the New Living Translation. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees things. Doesn't matter how much money you have, that Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Carlos Slim, or whatever you're called. You don't have a heart for God. That's what God sees of your generosity. You can live the man in a mansion of this size and he could still see it as a small shack. You could have a car that looks like a spaceship could almost fly, and God sees it like just a hunk of metal. And again, there are faith partners who have brand new cars. Three faith partners who bought cars, paid cash. I'm not speaking bad of them. Glory to God for them. On the contrary, those faith partners are generous in the things of God, and they're givers. Those people who started at nothing, but they learned how to manage their money. What I'm saying is, when God doesn't give you that, but when you to try to show off and show that you are prosperous. Now you say it's prosperous here and this and that, and I went on forward, and some of you who criticize me. Too much church, but you don't go on forward. But me, well, I don't go to church. I don't give anything. But God has blessed me with this business. God sees it that way. He sees them as naked. It's time that they cover what their miserable parts down there. Amen. Am I saying that it's wrong to prosper in life? No. And I'll show you all with the Bible. But start using your faith in the level in which you're at. Start using the faith in the level that you're at. We will never impress God. Again, go buy the newest brand new car. The most expensive costs you what? $150,000, $200,000? You think that impresses God? Person who has a Bentley? No. If that person has a Bentley, what impresses him is his heart. God is not against that you have a Bentley or a Mercedes Benz or whichever brand that you want. Leave me with a Dodge Diesel Cummins. That's all I want. But what I'm saying is those types of people, when God isn't important to them anymore, the things of God isn't important, when church isn't important, the local church isn't important, that's when God sees them this way. Now, God loves them, and believe me, God will do everything he can to deal with them so much as people of the world to his children. But what I'm saying is that disgusting pride. We haven't finished what God has told us, so we're useless trainees. Always remember that. When the devil tries winning, you know I'm a useless trainee. Amen. Hallelujah. Many Christian singers, ministers, they used to praise God, and now I'm talking those who are elders now, perhaps in their 80s, 90s. The world has won them over. They want Grammys of the world. They want to please the world. Yeah, it's fine to try to win over the world, but you don't have to mix and do the same and speak the same as the world to try to win them over. We can't use methods of the world to attract people of the world. We have to stay with the Bible. Someone say amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Are you understanding this? You know, that's how God sees you as rich. Use your faith. Start using your faith, as I told you right now. How? Start speaking words of blessing. I'll give you some tips to start wrapping up. We're about to leave. A tip on how to use your faith very quickly. Start speaking words of blessing. Start with the promises of God. What I'm telling you here is from your heart. Start practicing this. From here, grab 2 or 3 promises of what you are in Christ. 2 or 3 promises of healing. Speak in other tongues. You have to walk more in love? See the verses. 2 or 3 verses that speak on love. Start saying, I am the love. I am love. The love of God has been poured over my heart. See 2 or 3 verses that speak on peace. Start renewing your mind. Amen. Start spending time with the Lord. My God, if some of you here are mothers who are stay at home, I know it's difficult perhaps to keep it clean, but while you're perhaps mopping, pray in tongues. While you're washing the dishes, pray in tongues. Praise God. Put songs of praise and worship. And pray. And sing songs that come out of here in other tongues. Don't waste your time on stupidities. Amen. And go and let the Lord speak to you. More here, how tremendous it is when you're alone and with the Lord and He deals with you. Perhaps in correction, where you've caused this for this and that, you haven't listened to me. And it's so comfortable. Cry before Him right there. Speak it all, let it all out there in front of Him, just you and Him by yourselves. And let the Lord speak to you. And write down what God tells you. Write down the verses that God tells you. And decide. Decide that that grace that is inside of you, that faith, starts working from the inside out. Eventually, those things will be seen. Don't expect to see results right then and there, from here to tomorrow, from here to 2 days. There are things that will take time. But let God work in you and in the other people. Someone say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Start using your faith. Be a man that says, Father, I have not seen so much faith in here in Douglas. Now to start closing up. Matthew, be of those. The centurion. Matthew 14, 5-10. And now, Matthew 8. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Use your faith to the max. Use your faith to the max. Use your faith. Start speaking words of blessing. Start saying, my house and I will serve the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Start speaking, in this house we speak in sanctity, separate for the Lord. Start saying, start speaking the promises of God. I am a child of God. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am loved by the Lord. Start speaking your promises. Start renewing your mind. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. Thank you, Father. Now to start closing up, the last example, everything that I'm speaking. Luke 12, and we have a good example here. My brothers and sisters, all of us as believers, we need to be more biblical if we want to win over the world and impact the world and not to be with things of clowns. Amen. Look at an example. Look at a good example here. And I've told you this before. To have money and to prosper, you don't need God. Like the world prospers, don't you notice? Ungodly people prosper. And I say, you can prosper. To the way of God is a difference. And you need to have a heart for the Lord. And everything that I've mentioned here. So Luke 12, one more time. 13. Luke 12, 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It does not consist in that. You don't impress God? Brother Hughes, you've given us testimony on how in Mesa you slept in a junk car. And now here where you live, you have three homes. The difference is that I was never seeking those three homes or that property. I was seeking the Lord and the kingdom of God. That's what I'm referring to. When the things come because you seek God, that's a big difference. This man told me, Who has placed me over a judge or arbitrator over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. It consists of how generous we are in the kingdom of God. That's what it consists of. He also referred to a parable saying the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will put down my barns and build greater, and they will store all my crops and my goods. And I say to myself, Soul, you have made good many goods, lay up for many years, take ease, drink, and be merry. So if you notice, he did this without God, and he knew that he didn't have God. Notice how in 17 he said within himself, What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? And then he said, not God, he said, because he had done all this stuff without God. He didn't need God, but you don't want that. You want what Proverbs 10:22 says, where the blessing of Jehovah is what brings wealth. That's what you want. But when God brings prosperity, God will tell you, give so much in this project, give so much to the church, give so much to the ministry to bless people, to enter another TV station, radio station, whatever, to send so much money to this church in another country. Amen. And so when God is the one that has blessed you and enriched you, you quickly take out that checkbook. But this man didn't believe that. God didn't bring wealth to this man. And another one. Notice what he didn't say. He said within himself, saying, What shall I do? Notice what he didn't say. And the man, recognizing that everything that he had it here in this earth, and that the earth is of God, and that the oxygen is of God, and all the goods in the natural that is his, is from God. And the man repented, and he said, God, forgive me for so many years I did not take you, but now I recognize that I did not take you, that I did not recognize you. But I repent and I recognize you now. Who do you want me to bless? But you see, he didn't do that. Remember the story? Zechariah did not do that. The riches of he did not recognize that it was the riches of God. But then he said, He who has defrauded, I will bring recompense. The Lord has come to this house. He repented. And that's true riches. That's true prosperity. Okay, one more time. Well, Brother Hughes, well, look, I bought a new house. Oh, glory to God, I bought a new house. Glory to God, a new car. That's all fine. But don't be in debt to try to show off to your family that you're a man or a woman of God and of prosperity and you believe God. No, my brothers and sisters, never do that. Faith pleases God. That's what I said right now. And we didn't see it in Hebrews 11:6. You can write it down. Faith pleases God. Amen. This is so good. God is my source. Thank you. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for you. Stand on your feet.
The meter that of he was defometer.
No, es que me da un coraje santo, la verdad.
And such a presage message. Why I teach this? Integrous man. He didn't live in a shed, but to establish. Same thing Fred Price or Brother Copeland. Copeland has petroleum and gas, but he's a generous man. So like that, but he sowed for years, and others don't. And I won't defend them even if I was paid. Even if I got a check, I wouldn't defend. Thank you, Lord. Pressure from anyone. Stay with the Bible. Right now, starting now, use that Jesus' faith. Later, I'm going to tell you good things in Corinthians and Galatians according to how we proceed in this. Father, you are good. Thank you for your truth and your word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for the faith of Jesus in us. Thank you for the spirit of Jesus. Thank you for the truth of the word, no religion, nothing that ties us up, no manly ideas, no false grace, or messages full of extreme liberties. We're going to stay with a biblical message, a balanced message, the one people can trust. In a message where there is no pressure on anyone or anything, but we let the spirit of grace work in them, that spirit of faith work, that it's you that works in their lives, and we give thanks. We give thanks, Lord. We give you all glory, honor, and exaltation. Thank you. Lord, every family that is here tonight, thank you for these faithful people. Lord, I publicly thank you. Publicly. Before you, Lord. Before the angels of God. And I give thanks for these people, church members that are faithful. We have faithful members. Nuvia and I give thanks personally because they are faithful people. And all our partners that are people who love the vision, and they love you overall. And if they love the vision, is because first they love you. Because here the only one who receives all glory, honor is Jesus Christ. And we give thanks. Thanks for the people who believe in this. Thanks for the people who help us financially from the outside. That helps us by sharing on social media, that they share the application. I give thanks, Lord. Thank you for those people who are in English, who are growing and joining us and are sharing. Some of them have contacted me and told me we're sharing this on social media for their help, for their offerings. Lord, thank you. Manifest yourselves, Lord, in their lives, in their homes. I speak that those laws of reaping and sowing operate in their lives, that all financial seed prospers. Holy Father, your word says that all who believe in you will not be ashamed. And in that, I confess that we will not be ashamed. few things. People who are going through a financial struggle, family problems, sicknesses, deception, physical exhaustion, that they're overwhelmed. I don't have all the details, but I speak with the authority of Jesus Christ. I speak peace. I speak healing. I speak wisdom to go out of those problems. I speak peace in their homes. I speak. I speak that the Holy Spirit is with them, that you make them in peace and help them deeply in you. They have the Holy Spirit. Speak through them through a dream, maybe early in the morning, maybe before going to bed. You are going to speak to their conscience, to their manly, to their spirit. Maybe they're going to start making changes. But it's because of the Word. Because of the Word, it is you, Lord. And we believe it, Lord. We enter in that peace of the Lord. We give thanks. We keep renewing our minds with the Word of God, and we praise you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And everything I have prayed, I speak it and pray it in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, my King, my owner, my Master, the author of my life. And I am thankful because it is an honor to serve you, Lord, a privilege, an honor. And I thank you. I thank you for every family in this church and for every partner of Word of Faith Ministries. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing me and Nuvia to be pastors of this flock here and other cities. Hallelujah. Thank you for every ministry that helps us. It's an honor, truly, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ooh, tomorrow the concert.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618. Or visit our website, mpfccc.org.